show. Let's do it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Turn your mic up a little bit. What mic is what up, world? Welcome to the Bloody Knuckles Show. You might hear some fireworks in the background. Happy July 4th. Yes, your boy is here live from Tallahassee, the city of champions. BK Show 1 on Twitter, presented by our goddamn selves. We're doing this thing on our own. Shout out to 319 Wine and Cheese, my place, my business, best wine, best food in Tallahassee. Also, I got to say, check me out on Instagram, warrior-fit. And on the line with me tonight, I got my boy, my dude. It is the King of Rochester, Mr. Free Agency himself. And I think this man agrees. We both should have developed that jump shot a while back. It is Mr. Percy Love, Andrew Meredith. What's up, homie?
Yo, 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 what it do? Extremely excited to be on the show, Ryan. Let's cut to the chase. You know, a couple reasons why I'm so excited. Hey, you can smell that freedom, right? Can you smell it in the air? America, greatest country in the world. Tomorrow is 4th of July. And, of course, I do receive a payday off, three-day weekend. But I can smell the freedom. We're bringing that 4th of July special. And, you know, folks, this is, you know, a much-awaited special. And for those of you who do not know, we're going to see my host's his alter ego. You know, we will be paging Dr. Edwards, the Dr. Edwards special. That was my little ultimate sale to net Ryan into doing this show. He had a long day at the beach, but I know he could not resist the Dr. Edwards special. Ryan, to kick it off, something you were alluding on, had to bring it up. We should have developed a jumper, Ryan. I mean, I believe $1.71 billion was spent the first day in NBA free agency,
NBA
which really
is
a mind.
How big they are right now.
It's mind boggling. And it's only going to be bigger next year. But right off the bat, Ryan, we got to touch on it. Most shocking contracts. For me, number one, it seemed pretty easy. I am still shocked. They didn't go all in on a Rajon Rondo. They could have easily paid him what the Bulls paid him. When you see the money they threw at Delavova. But
yeah,
we all know the Bucks. They were very desperate for a point guard. But, you know, this free agent signing, Ryan, at least for me, really takes the cake. He had two good games, and all of a sudden he has a 4-year, $38 million contract. And, Ryan, part two, how bad do you think, like, a Steven Jackson or a Ron Artest, some of these veterans, way better than Delladova, Ken Bazemore, Mozgov, Eric, what's his name? Like, what do you think is going through their mind when they see all this money going around? And what were some of the worst signings you thought in this NBA free agency? And what were some of the good ones?
Right off the bat, Andrew, you said it perfectly. I mean, there was point guards available. I know it wasn't a strong class. Give me one second. I'm hearing an echo, so I'm going to move my location. I know it wasn't a strong class or anything for point guards, but it seemed like Milwaukee desperately needed one. I don't think you should be playing Giannis at point forward. I think that's really hurting Giannis and his development. And the fact that they signed Matthew Dellavedova to such
over
a big
Rondo?
Deal. Over Rondo, who was available and would have fit perfectly on that team, I just feel like it was a very, very dumb move. Just a horrible move. And I'm going to plug my headphones in real quick.
Ryan, you back?
Talk about that, Andrew. Signing Matthew Dellavedova just made no sense to me. I don't see how he fits on this team. I don't see the reasoning to sign
not
him.
Like he has a jumper either. Like, fuck.
Yeah, he really brings nothing to the table. And the only reason he had a meaning to be in the NBA was really to be on the Cavs as more of a mascot than anything. And the Cavs, usually you don't mess up a championship team. But the Cavs, they let Matthew Dellavedova go because they knew how bad Matthew Dellavedova was.
How do you
and
say that?
The Bucks, a team where Rajon Rondo, who's also long, could distribute the ball just like Jason Kidd did his whole career, is a veteran on a team that needs veterans. Makes no sense why they did not go after this guy. I mean, there was also other guys out there that, like a Brandon Jennings, that they could have went out and signed. Maybe they still will. I'm not sure, but it doesn't make sense. Also, Andrew, I got to say, if the New York Knicks would have made this move, ESPN would be all over them. Bleacher Report, which I'm getting sick of because Bleacher Report is very, very biased. They seem to love Boston, and they seem to hate the Lakers and the Knicks. And I got to say that Houston Rockets signing Eric Gordon to 4 years and the amount of money that he is making, which the night before.
They also more 72, those sons of bitches.
Exactly. And the night before, when Eric Gordon was going to sign to the Knicks, everybody was getting on the Knicks. Then all of a sudden, I see that it's a good signing for the Houston Rockets. He plays shooting guard, the same position as James Harden, and they signed Ryan Anderson. So you're pretty much bringing in two guys that play for the Pelicans, were never healthy, for a team that was shitty last year. You're pretty much making your team the Pelicans, minus Anthony Davis with James Harden. That makes no sense to me, Andrew. I feel like that's one of the more retarded moves I've seen in recent history. Honestly, the Lakers caught a lot of hate with Timothy Mozgov. I understand it because I know that Luke Walton was there when I don't agree with, I think there's other guys the Lakers could have gone after. I think on the surface that looks like a really bad move, but I think Luke Walton is trying to build a system here, and that's where like a Luol Deng fits in. He is going to be like the Lakers' Andre Iguodala. He's a guy that can do everything. He can play the four, play the three. And if you look at
Mozgov can't play the three.
No, I said Luol Deng, the Lakers'
signing. Yeah, that was a great signing.
No, I'm just going along with, Mozgov was viewed as one of the worst signings. But in my opinion, yes, it wasn't the best signing. But this is a guy who did put up 36 points in a finals game. And if you look at Luke Walton's system, they're trying to kind of emulate what they did at Golden State. And what at Golden State, they had a bunch of young guys. And they brought over an Andrew Bogut that was unproven but had shown flashes that he could be a really great center. And then they brought over an Iguodala who Luol Deng definitely kind of resembles and a guy that the Lakers have been wanting forever. So you can see that Luke Walton's trying to similar case to what Golden State was able to build. And I think he's going to be able to do a lot with Timothy Mozgov. So that was a bad signing, but as a Lakers fan, I can kind of agree with why they did it. I don't agree with doing it so early, though. Other than that, let's hear a couple from you.
Number one, as a Hawks fan, I got to say it. I did really want Kent Bazemore to come back. We really don't have a shooting guard. We have Kyle Korver. He is one trick pony, but he doesn't have that elite defense. And, it also stings because I feel like if we were able to capitalize and fucking Denver fucking us again, sneaking up there and taking Malik Beasley right before we pick Ryan, that's another pick you're going to hear me bitch about for a while. Kind of have a Giannis feeling towards it. We'll see if I'm two for two. Ryan, that's just pay him. $70 million. Ryan, this really, it's funny. Out of all the teams I hate the most in the NBA, I really think Houston has to be my number one. Not the giant James Harden fan, but, the fact that they had to come in there, and this shows you, I don't get, Ryan, why a team is so desperate for a shooting guard, because then they turn around and they pay you know, Eric Gordon 50-something mil, which, shit, I might have rather had Eric Gordon because if he's healthy, you know, he could be a superstar. And, you know, if he everything's playing right. But Kent Bazemore, 70 mil. He
everything
needs to take
Kent
a really
Bazemore
big step
does,
forward.
Trevor Ariza does. So why are they so desperate for that?
Yeah. We really need to – he really needs to take a step forward. But I really don't get it, Ryan. Houston, you know, has to be a big question mark for me. Another signing that – let me try and think of some of these that – I did not really understand.
I don't like the Brooklyn Nets Tyler Johnson signing of $50 million.
Yeah, what the fuck is that? $50 million Tyler Johnson? I didn't even know who that guy was, Ryan.
No,
that's
me neither.
I even bring it
who
up.
Is this gentleman?
$50 million?
Does he play in NBA? Tyler Johnson? I thought he was in Summer League. He's making $50 million?
That's absurd, Ryan. But it really goes to show you, you know, the craziness of the cap, and it's only getting bigger, Ryan.
And Andrew, I got to say this. I really hate what the Miami Heat are doing. I know they got Whiteside back, but the fact that they are
go all in on Wade. What are you doing?
Yeah, the fact that they are making their superstar, and this shows you the Lakers were to the end. The fact that Pat Riley keeps making Dwayne Wade go out there and kind of make a fool out of himself and. You know, it's bad, first off, because he met with Kevin Durant while this was all going down, and Pat Riley says he's all about family when you're a Heat, you're a Heat lifer, and then he allows the Dwayne Wade stuff to go down. Then they let Joe Johnson walk to the Utah Jazz, which to me didn't make a lot of sense at all. I felt like Joe Johnson should have went to a contender. It was a cheap contract, so I could see why Utah did it. Maybe they are going to be a contender here. And they let Luol Deng walk also. So they are right now missing their three top scorers from the playoffs.
They got to really think Justin Winslow is about to really turn the next page, Ryan, because that right there is shocking. And, you know, maybe they are, Ryan, trying to create cap room for Kevin Durant. But, you know, I really don't think it's going to happen. And, you know, Ryan, this really shows you, kind of, I was going to add in, what Pat Riley thinks about this team. Maybe he thinks they won't get Kevin Durant, and with the team they have, they're not going to get it done. They're not going to win the ship. Maybe you tank this year and try to bring in a top player, Ryan. But you didn't like the team, Ryan. You didn't like the moves the Heat have been doing, rightfully so. Let me get a couple other teams where they're just drunk. They need to go home. This is one of the first offseasons, though, I must say, where, you know, I haven't really seen Philly make any dumb moves. Now, granted, they haven't made any moves, but they haven't made any dumb moves yet. But let me get, you know, outside of, you know, the team who I think we agree fucked up the most, and that is the Orlando Magic. But let me get some other teams who you were just not impressed with. Could have had a shot to break through and take the next level and haven't yet. And I know we have some other chips that need to fall. We'll get into the KD stuff a little bit later. But who are some teams that you feel have bombed this free agency? And what are some
Dallas,
of the good signings that you liked?
Dallas Mavericks. I mean, once again, I mean, is Mark Cuban really an NBA owner? Because this guy seems to strike out every year. I mean, you have the city of Dallas, and I think we even talked about this on this show, like, why are the Dallas Mavericks not attractive to free agents? At this point, it has to be Mark Cuban. I mean, this guy must be overshadowing or not doing meetings right or too busy on Shark Tank or something like that. I don't know. But, like, you have the best city in Texas. The other teams in Texas are attracting free agents. And Mark Cuban's not getting anybody. He was going to let Darren Williams walk to try to get Mike Conley. Couldn't even get that done. He let Chandler Parsons walk. That's another year where you sign a guy to a big contract.
And there was no chance of him coming back. Like, he was pissed at him.
He didn't want any people. And they just did this with Amonte Ellis, who was playing great for them. You know, just recently. So it seems like they just keep letting guys
Did
in.
Did Dirk come back?
And that's not official yet either. So they haven't even signed their
their main guy yet. And if you're Dirk, I don't. Other than the rumors that Mark Cuban is going to give him a stake in the Dallas Mavericks when he retires, that's the only reason Dirk has to be thinking about coming back. Andrew, I love Rajon Rondo, but to me, it really shows that Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose definitely had beef, and I hate, especially as a semi-Bulls fan, I love Rajon Rondo, don't get me wrong, but I hate what they've done all together in free agency, letting Joakim Noah walk, doing that dumb trade
with sloppy,
sloppy Robin Lopez. I hate Robin Lopez.
Yeah,
and why
broke.
Would you replace Derrick Rose with Rajon Rondo? It's kind of repetitive. Like, Derrick Rose is going to be the better point guard. I know Rondo might stay healthier, but if both are healthy, Derrick Rose is better, and he's from the city of Chicago. He's the bigger star. If you're going to tank, don't bring in another great point guard. Like, to me, that didn't make sense when you're letting all these other great players go. It didn't make sense at all. And I got to say, the Houston Rockets and the Brooklyn Nets, definitely losers. And, of course, Milwaukee, who's really done nothing to make a great team on paper. That's great. Better. All three of those teams completely struck out. And, Andrew, last year at this time, we were talking about how brilliant Daryl Morey was for the Houston Rockets. I mean, he's looking horrible right now. I
There's
think
no
Oklahoma
vision.
City, I love
talent.
That Oladipo trade, but I think that they needed to strengthen up a little bit more. And also Golden State, maybe do a little bit more. And the Spurs, all three of them, are concentrating too much on Kevin Durant and letting a lot of other guys kind of slip away that they could really improve, because right now the team that beat is the Cavaliers.
Yeah, Ryan, and now that you said that, it actually reminded me of something. I think word on the street is Dallas did sign Harrison Barnes to a max contract.
Barnes,
I remember seeing I don't know if it's official yet, but I think they did throw that money at him. They are, but that all depends. Where is KD going to go? I think he stays in OKC, Ryan. So KD needs to hurry up and make that decision, or they need to pull the plug. They can't sit here thinking, because if they lose Harrison Barnes too, I'm sorry, that's a decent little hole to fill. And Ryan, I have to throw in there, I know I don't think I'm being a homer on this one, but I did like Atlanta's pulling a Dwight Howard. First of all, that's just a win for Atlanta. I'm sorry, for the Hawks to get a player of, you know, at least Dwight Howard's name value alone, that is big for us. I think he matches up very well with Paul Millsap. Honestly, Ryan, I'm kind of happy we got I'm happy we kept Paul instead of having to give Big Al over $113.25 million a year. Granted, I think it would have been pretty sick to match up Big Al and Dwight. That would have definitely been good. But granted, Paul Millsap, I love him, and he was a big reason why we were able to turn it around. I wish Big Al the best. Ryan, actually, before, you know, because one of the there was a couple other things I wanted to talk on.
Well, let me throw in a couple of things I love
KD. But I was going to ask you, what do you think, before we get into the KD talk, what do you think about the Boston Celtics, Big Al going there? How good is that for the Celtics? Are they still kind of whiffing? Because Big Al's not going to be your number one star in a championship team. So what is their roster looking like? And what are some of the other moves that you really like in this free agency signing?
All right, this is official Dr. Edwards. I've put on my glasses, ladies and gentlemen. Let me dissect the NBA media that seems to just be too much in love with whatever Boston does. Like, they whiff on draft night. Oh, it's all right. They made the right move because they got Jaylen Brown and a bunch of draft and stuff. No, they whiff.
I wanted Jaylen Brown.
No, they completely whiffed because they did nothing else. They had so many trade assets and made no big move. If that was the Lakers or the Knicks, once again,
All hell would be going down.
Remember how much shit they cost in drafting Porzingis? Sorry.
Yeah, exactly, Andrew. Exactly. And I'm sorry. I read an article today on Bleacher Report talking about how the Boston Celtics are the next title contender. And to me, it's like everybody's acting like Big Al is a LeBron signing. Like, the Celtics nowhere near, being a title contender with the guys they have on their team. They keep whiffing in drafts. And then Big Al, I know he's good, but he's 30 years old. And we've already seen with the Atlanta Hawks, he's not going to carry a team on his back. The furthest he went was one time to the Eastern Finals. And let's face it, the rest of that team was hitting the stride. It wasn't just Big Al. I mean, if he's your number one go-to guy, which he is going to be on Boston, him and Isaiah Thomas, a guy that nobody really wanted and had one great year so far, I don't see why Boston is getting so much love right now. I haven't seen them really do anything else that was great. Andrew, I got to say, I love what Memphis did, bringing back Mike Conley. And I know the man is injured. It might be a risky contract. But Chandler Parsons, if he's healthy, the way he opens up Memphis for his shooting, you have Chandler Parsons, if you have a healthy Marc Gasol and Zach Randolph, how much more lethal that team is going to be. And now Conley is now crazy, is the richest guy in NBA history. That's just crazy.
Pretty crazy.
Memphis definitely stocked up with Chandler Parsons. I think Portland has struck out left and right. I think Evan Turner was a bad signing. They really needed that Chandler Parsons signing.
And I do got to say,
despite the Mozgov signing, I like the Lakers bringing back Clarkson and then getting Dang. And then I might be a homer with this, but I've loved everything the Knicks have done. Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah, and really to top it off, Courtney Lee, who's going to bring that defensive identity. When you have Courtney Lee, Kristaps Porzingis, who can block shots left and right, and Joakim Noah, it just brings so much of a toughness back to New York City. I think those teams really have done great. And the Indiana Pacers, to top off all the great trades, to bring in Big Al for so cheap, a guy who's going to come off the bench and mentor Turner, I think that was just a great move by Larry Bird to get a center that's going to keep Turner the offensive side of the ball and a guy who's going to get points off the bench automatically.
Oh, yeah, Ryan, that was the Pacers. I love their moves. You really think about it too, Ryan. This team last year, I feel like they jumped from a 7th seed to a 3 seed, possibly a 2 seed, depending on, what happens with, Toronto going forward.
Both those teams could be top 5.
Exactly. Just a hell of a move by
Larry
Bird.
And how exciting are the Knicks going to be to watch? First day. I wish the season started now.
I love it, Ryan. I do, too. And I have to say, living up here in Rochester, New York, this is the most buzz I've seen about a Knicks team since they probably, either when they brought in Melo or the year before when they had Amari. I will say this. I think the Knicks are in playoff contention, but I feel like the only thing left that they're missing is just to, add some depth to the team.
Yeah.
I feel like that's all they need. They have a nice starting five, but Ryan, as we know, Summer League kicked off yesterday, and Ryan, back to back, I've never seen such a poor showing by the Knicks. They haven't even broken 50 points yet. Back to back, 48-49 getting killed. It's Summer League. And one quick takeaway I have to say from Summer League, Ryan. Bryce Johnson, the power forward from North Carolina, drafted by the 25th pick by the Clippers. He's shown like he has something to prove. He is definitely playing with that chip. And, of course, Ryan, a la Bobby Portis of last year, there's always those couple of players who I'm like, they could be, they have a decent showing in summer league and suck when the season goes around.
I got to say this real quick while you bring that up. Stanley Johnson, the man I mean, literally, this is a man child. He isn't big right now as LeBron James.
Don't need to be playing in the summer league. Stanley Jackson is for real. I wish the Hawks made a move for him.
I mean, who's done a better job than Stan Van Gundy building around a superstar?
Oh, yeah.
And in his first year, and I love
Stan
Van Gundy, man. What he did with Orlando.
Yeah. That call out on LeBron in the playoffs when the camera was on him. LeBron does what LeBron does. They're not going to call an offensive foul on him. That shit was hilarious.
I love the guy. He's so sour. He knows exactly what he wants. And I love the fact Stanley Johnson called out LeBron in his rookie year. He said, "I'm coming for LeBron." This guy's a man child, and I think if he really lives up to his potential, Detroit could be a championship contender for the next couple of years. And that's what I really saw at the Summer League, that I think Stanley Johnson is slowly starting to separate himself from Justice Winslow as the better wing out of the two.
I do have to say this, though. I agree, Ryan. I agree. But I do think I'm not sold on it. I think Stan was more NBA ready to begin with. But granted, Ryan, I do have to agree. And honest, Ryan, watching Stanley Johnson play makes me more sour and sour. Didn't you say that we could have maybe traded Teague for that draft pick, or was it Schroeder?
It was Korver and somebody else for that pick, and I believe Greg Monroe.
Oh, my God. We should have done that, Ryan. That was –
because the Pistons
want
shooting.
That.
They want shooting.
And I don't want to think about that, though, anymore because, you know, the 1 year the Hawks did go all in on a power forward – or a small forward, I mean a wing – was this year in the draft. And I got to say, I don't like what we came away with. I feel like there's a slow moves you could have done. I don't even want to get talking about it because it's going to make me depressed. Ryan, another thing I did have to say, I had another two players who were really showing great development. Dakari Johnson, drafted by last year, end of the draft, from Kentucky. The guy was really in there making his presence felt, dominating. And Ryan, this guy, I feel like, you know, I didn't get it. If I was the Hawks, if I was even the Lakers, I would like to see one of my teams make a move where he could potentially get some playing time. But we saw Mitch McGarry, Ryan. Saw him straight up have a solid rookie campaign, averaging more than 5 points a game. New coach on Billy Donovan.
Slide in.
Yeah. And under Billy Donovan, Ryan, he did not get any burn this year. I don't think it's injuries, but watching him in the summer league, it's very rare you see a big white power forward, be able to take the ball coast to coast and make moves. I would love to see him go on another team where he is actually, you know, utilized.
He's
going to
be utilized
some
now.
Playing time.
I think he's going to get utilized. Him and Cameron Payne, I think, are going to get
burned. Yeah, Cameron Payne looked good, too. But, Ryan, I have a question for you that I know you're going to love, though. I know you
go ahead, because I forgot what I was going to say.
All right. So, you know, folks, you got to recognize we freestyling right now, having fun, talking for the love of the game.
This is kicking it. You know,
Ryan, I know your team, you know, this is the second year in a row the Lakers didn't, you know, get a big, But here's what I'm going to get on. Some people are upset, but very smart move, something my Atlanta Hawks do here and there, but, you know, by the time we come to play people, we fuck up. But, you know, big move for you guys, Ryan. So the Lakers haven't signed any big names, really, but they haven't overpaid and, you know, brought in a bunch of so-so players like the Eric Bledsoes of the world. You know what I mean? They signed a very great contract, 4-year, $50 million with Clarkson. I believe that is a great contract. That's a contract we can see, you know, granted 2 years down the road, you know, we could see him very well, you know, be making over $20 million a year, you know, with the way he plays his age.
Yeah, for sure. He took less to stay in L.A. Or he took less for some reason. I don't get why.
Yeah, why wouldn't you want to? And, Ryan, you're playing on a very young team. The team is only going to develop and get better. We could eventually see a move with D'Angelo Russell just because I read a lot about it with a fragmented offense. And you never know, if Jordan Clarkson, you know, he might say, hey, you know what, we don't need him, get a great asset for him. But, you know, out of the youngsters, where do you like the state of your team right now? What do you think some moves going forward are? Do you guys think, you know, you're a playoff team this year, maybe that eighth seed on the cusp? So what are your thoughts about the team, how the team is going to be going forward in the development of these young players, new head coach Luke Walton? Are you guys a playoff team, and what are some moves you think are some realistic moves on the horizon coming up for the Lakers?
I think the Lakers have played this very smartly. They got out of that Kevin Durant fantasy quick, which is all Jim Buss. You have to realize Jim Buss is the one who wants to keep meeting with these big men that aren't going to sign. And I love how people keep saying, they keep dissing the Lakers because, oh, Kevin Durant doesn't want to meet with the Lakers. Why would Kevin Durant meet with the Lakers?
Yeah.
Obviously, it's too young of a team for a guy like Kevin Durant. It just doesn't make basketball sense. It doesn't say anything about the Lakers and that they're falling off as a franchise. It just means we're in a rebuilding process. Did Philadelphia get a meeting with Kevin Durant? No, the Lakers are rebuilding right now. And what team can say that they almost have, I mean, if you go back in the draft that these guys were in, you could say Jordan Clarkson arguably should have been in the top five. And the Lakers right now are going to have.
Should have won before Exum.
Yeah, and four of the top five slots on the team this year, we are going to have young studs that could be top 10 players in their position or potentially one day be top five players at their position. So you got to love that as a Lakers fan. Yes, eventually, I think Mozgov is either going to turn into an Andrew Bogut-type asset or he's going to be quickly traded because he's always going to be a tradable asset. Someone's always going to want a center that can rebound and do the dirty work. But I think we needed a guy like Mozgov to go. And don't forget, the Lakers are going to play a lot of small ball with Luke Walton. And that's why I love Luau Deng. I've been wanting him for years. And the way he played in Miami in the playoffs, and they put him at the stretch four, it's like Luau Deng found another career. He absolutely balled out in the playoffs for Miami and throughout the late season, the late end of the season, when he started playing the four position and Miami started playing small ball. And that's what I think made Luke Walton fall in love with Luau Deng and really remind him of Andre Iguodala. Because Luau Deng could seriously play three different positions on the basketball court and really let the Lakers play that small ball potential that Golden State had. There's no way you can look at this team and say this isn't exactly close to that Golden State team that couldn't even inbound the ball at one point when they were building their team up. They got laughed at on SportsCenter just a couple years ago when they were going through this same process. So I'm going to pull a Philadelphia fan reference and say, believe in the process. Because next year, Russell Westbrook is a free agent. If D'Angelo Russell doesn't work out, that man is a perfect fit in a Lakers uniform. Yes, I'm swinging big, but don't forget, he went to UCLA, he's from LA, and he is big into fashion and wants to go into movies and stuff like that. Russell Westbrook is the one guy I think that can be pitched into a Lakers uniform just by all of the stuff that comes with Hollywood. And what made me think this more was Al Horford said he wanted to go to Oklahoma City, but Durant and Westbrook would not give him an answer when he said, are you going to be there for the next 5 years? So it's obvious Russell Westbrook is going to be looking around. I don't see Russell Westbrook staying in an Oklahoma City uniform. Andrew, I think it's going to be at least 2 years until the Lakers make the playoffs. The West, honestly, is getting a lot weaker. And we laughed at our boy Connor for saying this, but now looking at the teams with a lot of stars moving over, the East is starting to get pretty damn good. And the West, really, if Kevin Durant went to Golden State, it's a two-team league. It's the Spurs and Golden State. Kevin Durant is what's making – I mean, Westbrook, don't get me wrong. He probably would keep Oklahoma City in contention. But, I mean, if Kevin Durant makes one big move to one of those teams, the West is starting to look a little bit like the East a little bit. So I think the Lakers have 2 years, let these players develop, then they'll be kind of late into the, you know, a late seed. And once they are, again, in the playoffs, of course they're going to start landing big names again.
Yeah.
And they're just going to keep racking up money. No one wants to go to a losing team. The Lakers just need that winning, you know, look at Boston. They were a losing team. They couldn't get anybody. They finally made the playoffs this year. They trusted the process. They rebuilt, and they got Al Horford. I'm not a huge Al Horford fan. Andrew, you know that I've never been a huge Al Horford fan. But that's a big free agency landing. A lot of people wanted him. So I believe the same thing will happen with the Lakers. They'll start landing big people again. And, Andrew, what do you think about Al Horford saying that about Kevin Durant and Westbrook? Do you think Kevin Durant could be at the door? I mean, I don't see if he was so committed why he's taking so long and why OKC needed an extra meeting at the very end of all the game.
I mean, Ryan, to keep it twisting, folks, I don't know we're going to get cut off the broadcast now. And it's funny you did bring that up because that was going to be the next point I wanted to talk about. Ryan, I think if KD leaves, then it's very possible Westbrook will leave as well. Very possible, because you have to think if KD leaves, there goes that special roster. Now, Ryan, the Clippers did give, originally gave KD a lot to think about, you know.
They
the free agency
out.
Smoke, I love to see it. Yeah, they got ruled out the next day. Very funny. And, Ryan, it goes to show you, you know, how fucking off people are, how off reporters are in free agency from Whiteside's gone to Horford to OKC to any signs of Celtics. So it's never over until it's over. Golden State gave Kevin Durant a hell of a lot.
I read what they said. What a beautiful message.
Yeah, and I mean, it's true. It would come easier. And, you know, all I have to say for Golden State fans, oh, my God. I mean, for OKC fans, oh, my God. Part of me would like to see it happen so all the bandwagon fans would jump ship.
I
know
want to see it happen at this point.
So many fucking bandwagon fans will all be OKC fans or Golden State fans now. But very interesting to see what's going to happen there. And I think Al Horford not coming was a big sign with it, Ryan. And I'd like to see it happen. And, Ryan, partially you have to think, could we see KD, we know the salary cap's going up next year, could we see him take a one-year contract with Oklahoma City? Or could we even see him pull vice versa? And take a one-year contract with Golden State and see how it works out. That might be a little bit of a stretch right there, Ryan. But real quick, what I was going to say, and also, too, coming up with OKC the following year, Ryan, is Westbrook finally going to want his own team where, you know, he's not always under Durant's shadow? He's kind of also been the scapegoat their entire career. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, well, Westbrook's the reason why they lost. You know, is he going to finally want his own team? And, yes, how does Los Angeles play next year? How does OKC play next year? Do they finally win their championship, Kevin Durant? And hopefully, Ryan, this will all get found out on Monday. And, Ryan, if we do, this is one of the first times in a long time I can remember when we see a superstar go to another team's pretty much their pretty big rival, the way they came back last year on him. What would you compare that to? Because it's not like LeBron's decision. And do you think we'll see Kevin Durant, if he were to leave for Golden State, would we see him get that same kind of hate that LeBron did?
Oh, yeah. He would definitely have to get the hate, Andrew. And I got to say, to add in real quick, I don't see why Kevin Durant would sign a max deal with OKC if he doesn't believe, like, because Westbrook could leave the next year.
Yeah.
So you're going to be in Oklahoma City with just Victor Oladipo, and are you really going to depend on that front office for big free agents? Finally, I think Deion Waiters went somewhere else, but, I mean, come on. You think he's going to take that risk? So there's no way he's going to do more than 1 year unless maybe he goes to Golden State. And Jerry West, he's the guy who can really talk Kevin Durant into something. And before I answer that, let me just say it's so funny that the Clippers went all the way to New York, and their pitch was that they were going to cut half of their team, J.J. Redick, Jamal Crawford, Austin Rivers. I'm going to cut my own son, and we're going to make a big four, Kevin. Yeah, that's what we're going to do, make a big four with a guy that can't shoot free throws, an old guy who's just going to yell at you the whole time and has midget syndrome, and a guy who probably is going to punch you in the face like he did one of his good friends this year, and Blake Griffin, and a team that couldn't even make it out of the first round, I think, only once the last 5 years, and that's been the most successful time in franchise history.
Jesus.
It is hilarious to me that the Clippers actually made that trip and thought they had a chance, Kevin Durant, and somebody actually reported that he was blown away. Yes, he might have walked out and said, yeah, I was blown away, but someone actually took that serious. That's just a joke to me, Andrew. I think, you know, the likelihood is he's going to sign a one-year deal with OKC, but there's really nothing I can compare it to if he does go to Golden State. I'm trying to think back of a guy. I mean, LeBron going to Miami.
The only thing is Johnny Damon going to the Yankees in baseball when he was on the Red Sox. That's all I can think of.
It's definitely happened in other sports. There's got to be football players who've gone to a couple of rival teams. It's had to happen before. But in basketball, I'm trying to think. I really think that LeBron
is going to... dark horse, Brian? I heard they used Tom Brady on the pitch.
Yeah. Oh, good job, Boston. Good job. And Memphis has been using Justin Timberlake as part of their pitches, too. It's pretty funny. Why is Justin Timberlake a part owner? I'm just saying. But it's just NBA. It's so funny, man. It's fun. It is so much fun, free agency. But Kevin Durant going, I mean, the closest thing I could think of is LeBron, because Cleveland is so gritty and hardcore. And in the words of my new favorite player, Joakim Noah, them motherfuckers in Miami are too Hollywood. They're a bunch of Hollywood motherfuckers. I don't like the way they play basketball. They're too Hollywood. They're soft. In the words of my new From Hell's Kitchen, should have been the Nick for the last 10 years. Would have been a great Nick. Joakim Noah. LeBron going to Miami and leaving a city like Cleveland.
Oh, or Derrick Rose to Chicago. I mean, Chicago to New York.
Oh, he was traded, though. So I think maybe the team doing that, Derrick Rose, and the city, and then signing Rajon Rondo, it's clear Jimmy Butler did not want Derrick Rose there. I mean, ESPN called it out on him. He had no answer for it. It's clear that happened.
They called him out.
they said, Jimmy Butler said, Derrick's great. I'm sad to see him go. And then one of the ladies said, well, why couldn't y'all keep him? Y'all played pretty good together. And then he said, I guess we just didn't fit together. I guess it's my team now. And it was pretty hilarious to see Jimmy Butler, pretty much get trashed. But I got to say, Andrew, let's make our official Kevin Durant prediction before we get cut off. Where do you think he will end up?
I'm going to play it safe. OKC, one-year contract. But I would love to see him go to Golden State. I want madness.
I'm going to agree. I think it's a one-year contract with Oklahoma City. I think that team is actually going to win the championship next year. But I think I want to see him go to Golden State. I want that super team. I want to go into the season just seeing what's going to happen. I think Russell Westbrook does need his own team. I think he's getting to be that good of a player. Andrew, all in all, who do you think right now has the best free agency?
Definitely the New York Knicks. The players they've brought in, and I'm counting the Derrick Rose trades, but that team went from, Dak Possum to, possibly in the playoffs. Have to go